Ticket Talk Back.
Dial 04-423-1010 or text 4001.
We are hearing this morning that Wales have got a strategy. It's to get a million people to become fluent in Welsh by 2050.
Is it really?
You know any Welsh?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I was growing up in England, every Sunday morning or every Saturday morning, I was waiting for sports coming on, and they always had a Welsh programme that was all in Welsh. On before the sport came on, and sometimes I'd watch it, you know, wouldn't understand a word and a clue what they were talking about. There's quite a lot of sheep on there and quite a bit of farming, but it was all in Welsh, but maybe a little bit has rubbed off on me.
So what do you know?
Nothing. Anyway, Welsh is rarely heard, of course, beyond the Welsh borders, and not enough inside it. That's according to the politicians that make the laws there.
Yeah, currently, all children in Wales learn the language until the age of 16, right?
Right.
More than a fifth attend Welsh medium schools, like middle school, where lessons are taught in Welsh. But now, English-speaking schools are going to have to devote more time to Welsh in Wales, and 150 more Welsh language nurseries are going to be set up as well, because the thing is to get kids early with language, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
We all know that. They learn it quicker if they learn it as they're growing up.
Absolutely.
By 2050, the goal is for 70% of pupils to be fluent in Welsh when they leave school.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm thinking here. You know, these kids that they're going to start learning Welsh, will their parents be able to speak fluent Welsh? Probably not. Because they've been left out of that generation. So if you're not speaking it at home, how are you going to learn it?
Yeah, that's a tough thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Normally, you learn a language the best when it's one parent speaking to you in that language all the way through your childhood.
Yeah.
And then the other language will be possibly the other parent and then what you learn at school as well. So we want to talk about language today. Did you do any languages at school?
I did. I failed a couple, actually. I failed French twice. There were GCEs in my day. So, yeah, I failed it the first time. And then the French teacher said, try for it again, Mark. You know, you're just on the border. You just might get there. So I did it again and I failed it again.
Oh,
yeah.
And she built you up and then...
I know. And also Spanish. Yeah, felt that.
We did French and Spanish, and then we had to choose when we got to high school which one you want to continue with.
I'd have gone with Spanish.
Well, Steph style. I was doing better in French, but I decided Spanish is cooler. So
yeah.
Spanish failed it, unfortunately. But I did enjoy learning it at the time. I just don't think I have that thing in me that's very good at languages.
Mm.
Although, I don't think, even if I'd really stuck in, even the kids who were really good getting A's, they weren't fluent in it by 16 years old.
Yeah, because they're doing it in class, but when they're getting home, then you're not going to speak Spanish to your English mum and dad in Newcastle, are you?
No, and it's an hour a week normally, if that, isn't it? Mm.
Now, I think it's easier out here, and I've got an example, because, you know, I'm from a mixed marriage, my wife is from the Philippines, and both my kids speak fluent Tagalog.
Yeah, that's amazing. And fluent English.
Yeah.
Did they learn anything at school? Did they learn Arabic?
Yeah, and none of them can speak it.
Not fluent.
No.
Okay. Well, children in Dubai schools do Arabic classes, but are they doing enough Arabic classes? We were just talking about Spanish and French there and saying that an hour, a couple hours a week is just not long. It's not long enough to be able to learn a language and be able to be fluent in it by the time you're 16.
Hmm.
So do they need to be doing more Arabic classes to be fluent in Arabic? Because I think Arabic is a really useful language and
very
getting more
useful.
And more and more so.
Extremely useful. And I used to know a guy here that went to school and both his parents were English and he could speak fluent Arabic.
That's incredible.
Without a doubt. But he's the only one I ever met. I've been holed up at my son's and daughter's school a couple of times for them not doing well and been dragged in and, you know, why are they so bad at Arabic? I said, I don't know. I don't speak it. I can't help. I can't help them at home with the homework, can I? You know, very useful, as you say. Great language to have.
So I'd also like to look at the expat community, actually, because there's so many of us here. I've been here for 12 years, and you're right, I know two expats who are fluent in Arabic. One was my friend Matt. He used to work for the government in Abu Dhabi, and he had a ride there every morning. So he would commute from Dubai, so he'd have an hour, and he'd have a driver, because it was so early in the morning that he didn't feel safe just driving on the road on his own. So he'd have a driver, and he was learning to play the guitar and speak Arabic. So every other day, he'd do something different. And some days, he'd start playing his guitar, and his driver would be too tired, and his driver would go, "Sir, Arabic day."
Really?
Yeah. So he learned to speak it fluently, because if he hadn't, then he wouldn't have been involved in conversations that were more social conversations. But he felt like to be part of that community in that workplace, he had to learn it.
But when he was going home to his whoever he lived with, there was nobody speaking Arabic,
no,
I take it.
No, wife and kids didn't speak Arabic.
That's, I find that really, you know, that, because for me, you've got to keep speaking it to someone. If you've nobody
but
there to speak it to.
He's doing it at work all day. So, and I think you're at work much longer than you're with your family, generally,
yeah,
which is a sad thing, but you are, aren't you?
Yeah,
like you spend
true.
A good 8 hours at work a day,
yeah,
and then you go home, you have maybe 4 hours at home before you go to bed.
Yeah.
So he was speaking Arabic probably more than he was speaking English in the end. And the other one, though, is coming into the studio a little bit later this afternoon. Jonathan from the Dubai Drama Group.
Can he speak Arabic?
Fluent in Arabic, which you would never know meeting him.
And he's only been here maybe 7-8 years,
yeah,
I think.
We'll chat to him a little bit about
yeah.
why he got into that later on in the show, I think, and
okay.
why he learnt it. But every time I travel, I always will learn a few words to get by in the country that I'm going to. Just went to Cambodia, learned a couple of words. A few people in our group didn't. And I feel like, you know, I've done my bit to learn a couple of words and it's
yeah.
nice and people smile when you say hello in their language and
mm-hmm.
they feel grateful that you've learned, at least you're making an effort. But I don't know as many words that I learned to go to Cambodia in Arabic, which is terrible.
I know.
Because I live here.
I know. I mean, I knew we were talking about this today, immediately I felt guilty. I mean,
yeah,
I've no excuse. I've been here for 30 years, you know. I'm totally out of order.
I've picked up an odd word along the way. You know, words that are unusual that don't sound like any other words that stick in your head for some reason, like Ciara for car has always stuck in my head, and I don't know why.
Mm.
And salam, if you're saying hello to someone.
Yeah, salam, yeah.
But yeah, apart from that, and I always feel really guilty about it as well, but why is that? Why have we not learned Arabic when we live in a country where we should be learning Arabic?
I think for me, it's probably plain and simple laziness and thinking, everybody speaks English to me, so what's the need for it?
I think you're being too hard on yourself. I don't think it's laziness. I think it's because we're not forced to speak it. When I went to Cambodia, if I hadn't have said hello in the language that someone was saying hello to me in, then I would have felt rude not saying it back. Like I go to France and I'll walk into a shop, or Montreal. I'll walk into a shop in Montreal and they'll say, bonjour. And I'll go, bonjour. Mm. I won't say hello back. But people are talking to me in that language, which makes me want to talk back. I think in Dubai, maybe we're not exposed to it enough. I'll walk into a shop and someone will say, hello, sir. Hello, madam.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe because the people working in the shop can't speak Arabic themselves.
Yeah. So the big question then, would it be good if we were pushed to speak more Arabic?
I think it would be great.
In shops, in restaurants, in hotels, when you walk through the door. Because that's what you'd expect, arriving at a hotel in another country, them to greet you.
In that language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, let's put it out there.
Definitely. 30 years and still can't speak it. But the reason I say lazy as well is because I mentioned I'm in a marriage where my wife speaks a different language and I've not learned that. I can understand bits of it, but I've not learned it. And it would help me so much if I could speak in her language and understand what people were saying when we're in the Philippines.
All right, we'd like to hear from you today. Would you like to be pushed to learn a bit more Arabic whilst you're living in the UAE? I can't help but think that we're missing out on an opportunity to learn a really valuable language living here. And also, have you learned Arabic? Did you do it? How long did it take you? And what inspired you?
Ticket Talk Back.
Dial 04-423-1010 or text 4001.
What are we asking you today, Dubai? Well, we're asking if you would like to hear more Arabic spoken. You know, when you walk into a shop or when you walk into a hotel or a restaurant and you sit down for dinner, would you like to be greeted in Arabic?
Now, Wales has just implemented a strategy to get 1 million people to become fluent in Welsh by 2050.
I think that's fantastic, especially
yeah.
yesterday. Do you remember we were talking about Salala and Adnan was telling us about his parents would speak a language to him when he was a baby that's never been written down.
Right.
So
yeah.
his parents are worried that language is going to completely
yeah.
die
if
out.
He doesn't pass it to his children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think language is important.
It is, isn't it? Currently, all children in Wales learn the language until the age of 16. And more than a fifth attend Welsh medium schools where all lessons are taught in Welsh.
Yes. Now, English-speaking schools are going to have to devote more time in Welsh in Wales from now on. 150 nurseries are going to be set up. So they want by 2050, 70% of pupils, 70%, that is a lot.
It is a lot.
To be fluent in Welsh when they leave school. We're not sure that the kids who are leaving school at 16 here are fluent in Arabic. That's the thing. do we need them to be? Do they want to be? Are they interested in learning the language? Mm-hmm. And if not, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you would have thought so as a young person, you know, you're living here looking at possible career opportunities in the future. It would be such an asset to be able to speak the language.
Do let us know your thoughts on this. Get in touch with The Ticket. Let us know what you think. Children in Dubai schools doing Arabic classes, are they doing enough to be fluent by the time they're 16? And should they be?
I think it's a topic we talk about in the newsroom all the time because they constantly say, have these get-togethers with the KHDA about how to improve Arabic. It's always one of the big topics that they're talking about. How can we improve it? How can people be more interested in how? I don't know if they'll be fluent by 16. I haven't met a lot of expat children that are fluent in Arabic, but I know that they're putting a lot of effort in to try and bring up Arabic in schools.
I can't really answer whether they are doing enough or not because I've never seen a class in the school, and you know, I don't have children who are in school over here. For example, me, my wife is a teacher, and you know, she has told me that she's a primary school teacher, and I know that her children go off every week, maybe a couple of times a week for lessons with an Arabic teacher. I think it's certainly something they should be doing over here, considering it is the national language. So they're speaking, it's always great to learn other languages. So I think it's a good thing. Whether they're doing enough or not, I can't answer that.
I doubt it, although I know that the KHD and schools here do work towards achieving that. But the problem is, if the language is not spoken at home or spoken enough, I don't think children will be fluent. I mean, it's okay for them to score marks, but I think once they don't act, like my son, he's in school, he's 7 years old. He learns the language and his Arabic teacher tells me he's doing really well. But if I ask him to converse, I think he will struggle. And I think they have to learn the language more to be fluent in it.
I'm not sure if enough was being done for the children who have turned 16 now, because a lot of the expats I come across generally don't speak Arabic very well. They will know the basics, but not the proper Arabic. But I think for the children who are going into school now and the programs which are being implemented at the moment, I think those are quite focused on teaching Arabic the right way. My son is 4 years old, and you know, he, I know they have classes almost every other day, and he teaches me how to count in Arabic. So I think yes, it's getting through now, and the programs which are in place now are much better than what was in place earlier.
My kids are too young to know. I guess I'll learn that in time, but I'm not sure. I haven't had enough to deal with kids of that age.
I think it's the way it's taught that makes it quite difficult for them to actually learn it and use it, and yeah, so that they're being taught plenty in schools. It's just, it's obviously very difficult to be fluent in it by the end of the time they're at school.
I don't deal with too many people out of school, so I'm not too sure, to be honest with you.
We're talking about learning to speak Arabic and whether kids are learning enough of it at school. We all learn a little bit of the language, but hopefully we do by now. When we travel and we go to a new country, we'll go out of our way to learn like a hello, a goodbye, a thank you,
yeah,
a how are you, how much does that cost?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could tell you all those things in Arabic.
Yeah, me neither. I could tell you maybe two. We're going to go to the lines. We've got Alexandra joining us on the show. Alexandra, where are you from and how long have you been in Dubai?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm from Ukraine. I've been in Dubai for now 21 years.
Can you speak Arabic?
No.
Why?
Well, honestly, I feel it is not taught well enough in high school or university. I can say from my own experience, because I've been here since I was 6 years old. So I went to high school here.
Yeah.
And the way Arabic was taught, it was like an Arabic passage, Arabic question and answers, and most of it was not translated into English. So I learned to read the language. I just was not taught enough to actually speak and understand it. So the question of kids learning by the age of 16, I feel, at least with the way I was brought up, it's impossible to learn the language.
What about as an adult?
Even then, like right now, I could not find anybody I knew who could tell me, let's say, a verified teacher who teaches Arabic well.
Not a teacher, though, because I feel like, you know, a lot of people will move to France and they'll just pick it up because they'll hear it and they'll have to pick it up because they'll need it to get by in a different country.
Well, here, I think the issue in that case here is that most of the places you can speak in English, so you don't really end up picking up the Arabic.
We're allowed to be a little bit lazy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, lazy, and there's no necessity, because in other countries, you may sometimes just not get away with knowing English. Like in France, I'm assuming most people primarily know French, so you kind of have to learn the language. Here, majority of people know English, so you get away with knowing the language.
And Alexandra, just finally, before we go to the headlines, would you like to be pushed to have to learn it and use it a bit more?
Yes, I mean, I would love to learn the language. I just don't know where to learn it from.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your call, Alexandra. Keep them coming in. 4001 for your text messages. Use that free ARN app as well. You can download that from the App Store or the Google Play Store.
Ticket Talk Back.
Dial 04-423-1010 or text 4001.
Yeah, off the back of this news this morning that Wales have just implemented a strategy to get 1 million people to become fluent in Welsh by 2050, we're asking if we should be pushed to learn Arabic. In Dubai, when you walk into a hotel, when you walk into a restaurant, would you like to be greeted by someone who says hello to you in Arabic?
Yeah, definitely. I think if there was more spoken, then we would be forced to go and have a few lessons and learn a little bit more.
Stage Doors coming up in about 20 minutes' time. We're going to be talking about local independent theatre. Jonathan Siklos is from Dubai Drama Group. He's an actor, and he normally comes in for that, but he's come in a bit earlier today. Hello.
Hello there.
Because you are fluent in Arabic.
Fluent might be overstating it somewhat, but I studied it for a number of years in the UK before I came here, and I think I was pretty fluent when I came here.
All right, we are going to talk about your story very, very shortly. We're going to go to the lines first, though.
Yeah, we've got Anwar joining us from Pakistan and lived here all his life. Anwar, do you speak fluent Arabic?
Hello, good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, Anwar.
Yeah, so I'm not very fluent in Arabic, but I know basics. And I mean, I believe I can, I mean, I do well. But I believe, expats coming here, really find it difficult, speaking Arabic, because most of us, we work for multinational companies because the environment here is very diverse.
It is very diverse.
Yeah, so most of the people, they find it easy to speak English. Even the Arabic people here from different part of the world, not necessarily UAE, they speak English. So, that's why it's you won't see many people, getting to learn Arabic. And about the school, I have done my schooling here.
Yeah.
I believe what they do at school is, the students take it as any other course and, they'll just work hard on it or do the needful to, just get through this, get through the subject or get through the language course.
And not necessarily retain it and use it.
Yeah, I learned. I've done schooling here, but what I learned at school has never helped me. Speaking Arabic.
So how many years did you study it? And by the sounds of it, you couldn't speak it when you came out of school at the end of it.
I guess I studied it from as soon as I started school and till my higher education, like not university, but till the college.
So that's a good number of years. 12.
Yeah, that's more than 16 years or almost 16 years.
And would you like to use it more?
Yeah, I mean, especially, we Pakistani people or people coming from the Muslim background, I guess we are taught Arabic, because of Quran and everything. So it's a bit easier for us than, other people coming from Europe and US. But I guess it can only work if you speak more. And people are speaking more of it. It will never help you by learning at the school, either kids or whatever, adults.
Thank you so much for your call this afternoon. Really appreciate it. We're going to stay with the lines.
Yeah, we've got Eleanor joining us. Eleanor, where are you from and how many years have you spent in Dubai?
Hey, Mark. I'm from India.
Yeah.
And I've been in the UAE for about 15 years.
Okay.
And done my schooling here, did my grade 5 and up, and I've also done my undergrad studies over here.
So was Arabic part of your curriculum?
Yes, throughout it was. So in the beginning, I hated it because I didn't get any word of it. But later on, it just became easy because all we had to learn in school was grammar, and learn how to read out the passages without really understanding exactly what was going on, you know.
I think that's like with all languages though, isn't it? I can remember when I first started learning French just being so confused about feminine and masculine. I was like, what is this?
We also studied French at the same time. So I started learning Arabic and French together, in fact. But with French, it was more spoken, like the teacher tried to get us to speak and converse more and learn the spoken French more than specifying on grammar and tenses, even though that was an important part of the curriculum.
Eleanor, sorry to butt in. Would you like to be greeted more in shops and things with people speaking Arabic to you? Would you kind of embrace that?
I think we're just so used to going around in shops and being in our comfort zone and so on. But I guess now that they're opening up more heritage areas in the UAE, speaking in Arabic would be a welcome change, definitely.
Good to hear from you this afternoon. Please do call again, Eleanor. Great caller. So we've got Jonathan here. Are we going to take one more call before we get Jonathan's story?
I think let's talk to Jonathan first. Hearing those callers, these people grew up here in the UAE, but still can't speak fluent Arabic.
Yeah, I don't think that's unusual at all. I think a lot of non-native speakers here can't speak Arabic, and I think there's three reasons for it. One is an immersion thing. It's just that you don't hear Arabic on a daily basis, or you're not forced to hear it, and you're not forced to use it on a daily basis. Another reason is that most locals speak excellent English, and so they're kind of a victim of their own success in a way. I mean, a little bit like the Germans. The Germans speak excellent English, and so very few people ever learn to speak German well. And the third, I mean, I think most of these points have been covered already in the program, but the third is teaching. It's not always well taught. It's often taught by native speakers who don't realize what's difficult about their own language. And that's the key thing as a language teacher, is to realize what's difficult about your own language and to be able to explain that to non-native speakers.
Yeah, I always find it very difficult the way it was taught, because I'm not academic in the way that I learn. So I always found that sitting with books and then just repeating sentences didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Do people need to be taught languages in different ways? Can you teach 30 people in a class all the same way how to speak another language?
No, I mean, I don't think you can. Languages can't be taught in the same way, and you need a variety of different skills to speak a language. I mean, you need to be able to read it, to be able to write it, to be able to speak it, and you need the ear for it as well, which only comes when you've been immersed in the language for some time.
How did you learn it then? What's your story? Why did you learn it to start with?
So I learnt it because purely by chance. A beginner's module in Arabic was part of a degree that I was doing at the time. So I started studying Arabic, and then after a year of doing it, I got so hooked on it that when I went, I left university and started working, I started studying it in my spare time. I started doing courses at lunchtime and in the evenings, and studied it for about 4 years.
But what was really it that got you hooked?
I don't know. I think it was just the language itself. It's such an incredible challenge. It sounds fantastic when you speak it correctly, and I'm not saying that I do speak it correctly, but when you master it, or at least when you master bits of it, when you sort of penetrate those really difficult aspects of it, like numbers, like broken plurals, like the alphabet, the sounds and various letters that you have to get to grips with, it's just an incredible challenge. And being able to communicate with people that otherwise you would have had no chance of communicating with, it's very satisfying.
Yeah, it's incredible. So when you moved to Dubai, obviously very, very useful.
Yes. I mean, this was 9 years ago, and I would say that's when I moved to Dubai. I would say that's when my Arabic was at its peak. And I'm somewhat ashamed to say that it has been getting rustier and rustier ever since.
How is that, though? Because how could it be at its peak in a country where you're not using it in conversation every day?
I mean, it's simply that. I mean, I came here having made the effort to study it, made the effort to develop friends who were native speakers. And I thought, right, I'm now moving to Dubai. The days of learning are over. The days of just letting it all soak in and just getting better without trying are upon me. And of course, that's not true, because as we've discussed, you don't have that immersion aspect here. You're not forced to speak it and to hear it every day. And so I became somewhat lazy. And although I do still use my Arabic in work, particularly to greet people, to introduce myself, usually the native speakers that I'm speaking with have much better English than my Arabic will ever ever be.
Yeah, but surely there's more people speaking it here than there was back in the UK. It's hard to understand why you say you've got rusty.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. But I think in the UK, I knew I was up against it, so I made sure that I was friends with native speakers. Made sure I went to my classes at lunchtimes and in the evenings, and I had that real drive. And then when I got here, I thought, right, I've arrived. I don't need to work at it anymore.
I don't know if you remember, we spoke to an author called Zora O'Neill during the Emirates Island Festival of Literature. She was here from New York, and she had written a book called All Strangers Are Kin, and she'd made her way around Arabic-speaking countries. And she said that the real problem, the real difficulty for her, was the different dialects.
Mm. That's absolutely right. I mean, one of the frustrating things with Arabic is that you can study Fusha, which is the standard traditional Arabic, which is a sort of modern version of what's derived from the Quran. And if you speak that, if you speak Fusha, you'll be understood anywhere in the Arabic-speaking world. But then, if you speak to someone who isn't terribly well educated, you'll get dialect back. So you'll get Moroccan dialect back, you'll get Iraqi dialect back, and that will not be mutually understandable to you. You probably won't understand it, even though you'll be able to make yourself understood. So you can learn the Fusha, you can learn, for example, the Egyptian dialect if you're living in Cairo, and then you can be there for a few years. You can get pretty fluent there, but then you travel somewhere else and you're more or less back to square one.
What would you say to people who would like to learn to speak more Arabic here?
Oh, I'm pleased I did it. I'm pleased I put in the hard yards. You just need to be prepared to slog away at it and prepared to work hard before you get satisfaction out of it. But it is extremely satisfying.
We're asking you if you'd like to be able to speak Arabic, if you have learned it, or if you've been here for many years like I have and really can hardly speak any.
I'll tell you what started this conversation. We read this morning that Wales have just implemented a strategy to get 1 million people to become fluent in Welsh by 2050. We think that's fantastic.
It is. It's amazing.
It's great. And Mark and I got chatting about this and we asked ourselves, how much Arabic do we know? Not very much. And we feel a bit ashamed of that. We'd like to know more.
Feel really ashamed of it, actually. Now I'm sat opposite Jonathan, who joins us for our stage door, of course, who can speak very well and has only been here for 9 years. I've been here for 30.
I've done 12.
Yeah.
Jonathan, do you know many other people who can speak fluent Arabic? Expats?
I do know a few. Because of the because of my 9-to-5 job, most of the people I work with have Arabic or some other regional languages, French or Urdu. I do know quite a few other people who speak Arabic pretty well. In fact, some who speak much, much better than me.
Do you ever get together and practice on each other?
we do. We should do. Not as much as we should. But again, it comes down to that efficiency thing. I mean, we're working together and we need to get something done and we have a limited amount of time, so in the end we pretty much end up just speaking our native languages.
That's fantastic, but I think you are the exception and not the rule.
Yeah.
I don't think many people know expats who can speak Arabic who actually live in Dubai.
My wife made an effort and did quite a few classes for a while, but that was some years ago, so I guess it's fallen away without that regular use.
I reckon we all come here with that intention. We move here and think, yeah, we're definitely going to go and do night classes and learn to speak it. It never really happens because you realise pretty fast that you don't need it. For me anyway, I don't need it. But I guess other professions you may, but no.
I do know a few people who have. They found it very difficult to put it into practice, though, because obviously the spoken language is English.
No, I can't think of anyone, actually. I have a lot of friends. I've been here for 10 years. A lot of us are expats, and I can't think of anyone who, has learned to speak the language fluently.
Yeah, I've got a lot of friends who've grown up in Dubai and who've learned Arabic in school and yet can't speak.
Really?
Yeah, so it's a struggle for them, and they believe that it's because they haven't heard it enough.
No, I don't. Not in the expat community. I don't know of anyone who can certainly speak it fluently. I think maybe some people have the basics, some words down, but that's about it.
I know a few people who did have taken classes. I do know people taking classes, but fluent, absolutely not.
Jonathan, you've got a family. You've got a little girl.
I have.
Are you teaching her to speak Arabic?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because technically, you could speak it to her at home.
I could, but that it would be really, really difficult for me because I've learned Arabic in the classroom and speaking to friends. So I didn't learn it growing up. So it would be really tough for me to speak Arabic to a child because you speak differently when you speak to a child. And I don't know how to do that. And I don't know how a native speaking parent would speak to a native speaking child. So I could teach her things, but it would be really difficult for us to have our relationship in Arabic.
But she did go to nursery and she learnt a little bit there, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. So when she was at nursery, she had Arabic classes a few times a week, and they did numbers and they did songs. I think it was fantastic, and it was very sweet indeed.
And we do have a little clip of her counting.
Yeah,
she counting?
Yeah, here we go. So this is a couple of years ago. So she's 4 and a half now, but this is from when she was just 2.
واحد اثنين ثلاثة أربعة خمسة.
Ah,
that's great,
well
wasn't
done.
It?
Well done, Heidi. Yeah, yeah. So that was from a few years ago, and again, I'm not sure she can still do it, because when she went from nursery to school, they stopped, or rather, they don't have Arabic in the first couple of years of her school.
Okay, so then she'll have to pick it up again.
Exactly.
It would have been good if she could just carry on, wouldn't it?
Yes. We're going to go back to the lines on this conversation. We've got Mohammed joining us this afternoon. Mohammed, what are your thoughts on people learning more Arabic and, you know, the whole idea of maybe hearing more of it around the city?
Yeah, Arabic as a second language. I'm native, speak Arabic fluently, of course. And I really like how Mr. was talking about the importance of learning first Al-Fusha. Yeah. Arabic is the original native Arabic Fusha, because that is the mother of all other accents, like he was talking about in Egypt. If you learn Egypt, it will help you. So the difficulty I find here in Dubai, I'm not originally from Dubai, from one country in Africa, but 10 years staying in Dubai. So many nationalities and languages are here.
Yeah.
The problem I find sometimes, I talk to someone, he is the language as a second language. Like, I talk to someone English, who is native English, and he talked to me Arabic, because he's learning Arabic, and I want to practice English.
And you don't like that?
He answered me in Arabic.
You don't like it, Mohammed?
I like it. I like the way he has the intention that he wants to strengthen, or he wants to make training for his language. I really like it. But this surprised me.
But you want to do the same with him and learn, strengthen English as well.
Of course, yeah. So also my friends from Urdu or Hindi speakers, I speak to them Hindi or Urdu. He asked me in Arabic. And he knows that I'm Arabic native speaker, so I like it. So Arabic as a second language is very important, that we emphasize on spoken Arabic first, especially in the Arabic domain or Arabic environment, so it will be easier for me. But for me, I have a difficulty to training our like I have French as a second language, or English, or Urdu, or Hindi. Some of these languages I speak with Arabic. So talking to a person of training your language, second language, to another person is very important.
Mohammed, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on The Ticket. Really appreciate it. So Mohammed loves it when expats do try out a little bit of Arabic on him. Would you like to see it be pushed, to be pushed to learn a bit more Arabic whilst you're living here? And what would it take to make you do that?
Pushed? No. I think being pushed to do anything, it's forced, and then it's comes unnaturally. But if there was more of an effort around town for everybody to do it, then it would become more of a common thing. And if people are going to use more words than just the basic ones that everyone sort of learns, shukran and habibi and halas, it'll be a good thing around town, yeah.
I think it's just conversational. I think that's the best way to learn any language, is by putting it into practice and speaking it, full stop. So, yeah, no, it wouldn't worry me at all. It'd be great.
Pushed? No, I don't want to be pushed to learn anything. What would it take? Just time. Just if I had time to do it, really.
Simple, you know, I guess it would be maybe more programs around city which encourage expats to take up the language. I remember I tried looking for classes which would suit me as a working mother, and I found that most of the free classes around town were at odd times. So maybe more classes around town, and yeah, more people speaking the language to me.
Yeah, something like that would be a great idea. I can't really think of a way that where it'd be pushed for you to learn Arabic, because like I say, I think English is the kind of the common language in a sense, and I can't see that not being the case. And that's not just here, obviously that's worldwide, that really, certainly in places which are as culturally diverse as the UAE is. But I think those kind of things, those kind of schemes like courses, I'd certainly sign up for one here if we did one at Dubai.
I would not say no to something like that. I think it would be very, very useful working as a journalist in Dubai. I think something that would really help is just street signs and, you know, perhaps going to the supermarket and only having things in Arabic so that you're forced to learn. I think it's forcing you is the only kind of way.
So that's a challenge that I struggle with, and I think I should be more proactive. And I have a 7-year-old, and I think he's making me want to learn the language, so because I want to encourage him to look at it as something exciting and something new that he will learn and that will help him in the future. So yeah, he is going to motivate me to learn it.
I think off the back of this discussion, we realized that we would all quite like to speak a little bit more Arabic.
Yeah.
Going to make an effort?
Let's do it. Let's do it after the show.
Fantastic stuff.